You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to talk about war and peace in the Middle East. If you've been listening to the news, you've probably already heard that the Russians, led by Vladimir Putin, have put a number of aircraft, fighter aircraft, bomber aircraft, as well as attack aircraft, and sent troops, obviously, to protect those aircraft to a Syrian airbase. Now, the problem is, most of that aircraft, who would it make sense to have that aircraft for? Ostensibly, it was to attack the Islamic State, or ISIL, or ISIS. The problem is, you don't need jet aircraft. They don't have any aircraft. They don't have any fighter aircraft or attack aircraft. The only aircraft that makes any sense, but it would be dangerous for them, is ground attack. They send a Su-25 ground attack aircraft. And for those that, before I get any further, if you want to listen to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to my companion blog, and it's PronkPops.wordpress.com. That's PronkPops, PronkPops.wordpress.com. And you'll see at the very top links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. And I just deleted all the June shows, but you can still get the June shows or any of the shows that are still available if you go to the very bottom, which has links to all the shows that I've presented. Now, what I've done is I've deliberately wanted to get pictures as well as descriptions of the various types of aircraft that the Russians had put in this military base. Now, they sent a fighter aircraft, one of the most advanced fighter aircrafts, their Su-30 multi-role fighter. That's usually to provide air cover. It's not really ideal to use as an attack aircraft, especially if you're going after ground troops. If you're going to do that, you use an Su-25 ground attack plane, and you can just see it's a different type plane. They've also sent bombers that can be of use if you know exactly where the troops or the rebels are. Now, what's going on? Russia and before that, the former Soviet Union have always been allies with Syria and the Assad regime, both the father and now the son. And they've sold a lot of weapons to the Syrian regime. It's a very brutal regime. And today we have a civil war that's raging in Syria. And that's why we have about 10 million people that have left their homes. They've either fled to other countries or they've moved to other areas of Syria. And that's caused a big refugee problem in Europe. That doesn't mean everyone that's a refugee coming into Europe is from Syria, but a lot of them are, or at least saying they are. So what is Putin up to? I think what he's doing is protecting Russia's interest in the Assad regime. A couple of years ago, Barack Obama kept making statements that he was going to have a red line that the Assad regime could not cross. Well, the problem is it became a joke. Today, we see what is required if you're going to have a red line, and Putin did it by sneaking in aircraft, transport aircraft, together with fighter and attack aircraft, into a base in Syria, in the northeastern portion of Syria. What you need to understand is the Islamic State, ISIS, is not in northeastern Syria. They're primarily in western Syria and Iraq. And it's the Islamic State that United States Air Force aircraft have attacked. Now, the problem is they have not attacked enough. If you're really trying to take out the Islamic State, you would be doing many, many sorties every day, not sporadically that we're doing now. But that's another point. Ostensibly, what Putin is saying, well, we're going to go after the Islamic State. Well, his first attacks were not against the Islamic State. They were against the rebels that we are supporting in Syria, namely the so-called moderates. I don't think there are any moderates in Syria, by the way. But supposedly, the groups that we, the rebel groups that we have been supporting in Syria that are trying to overthrow the Assad regime. Now, what's dangerous about this is accidents happen. And the Russians, as well as Air Force and our own Air Force pilots, could easily attack each other. And that could lead to war. Right now, because the United States is mainly flying missions in western Syria and Iraq against the Islamic State, that's not likely. But once the Russians, should they expand their operations into western Syria, should they do it, that poses a very big problem. Now, you're going to hear a word. It's kind of the buzzword of the day. And that word is deconfliction. Deconfliction. And I have an interesting video that at the very top that I deliberately put it on the top. Now, it doesn't really pertain to the specific meaning of deconfliction. Usually, deconfliction is referring to you don't want two airplanes to collide or attack each other. So you need to know where both planes are. And you need to coordinate, because if you don't, you're going to have a problem. Either aircraft could collide or, worse, attack each other. Supposedly, what the Russians and the United States representatives are doing is to try to work out and coordinate through our various military organizations to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, there's a problem here. Who do you believe? Do you believe President Obama? Do you believe Putin? I don't trust either one. And Obama has a problem, a political problem. Remember, next year's an election year. The American people don't want to get involved in the Middle East, specifically in the Syrian civil war. And they certainly no longer want to send our troops back to Iraq to become umpire between the Iranian and Iraqi Shia attacking the Islamic State, which are Sunnis. So what you have both in Syria and Iraq is a civil war. Now, the one in Syria, it's the rebels against a secular state. But that secular state, who are the allies? It's Russia, China, and Iran. And Iran has proxies there, namely Hezbollah, that are also propping up the Assad regime. So do we want more U.S. forces, so-called boots on the ground there? I think if you had a vote of the American people, they would say, no, stay out of here. It's not our fight. In other words, the Sunnis and the Shia have been killing each other for hundreds of years. What's our national interest there? Well, I'll tell you what our national interest there is. It's oil. The number one resource of Iran and Iraq is oil. And our main ally who has oil is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, it definitely feels threatened by Iran and now Russia, its ally, and they want the Assad regime to be thrown out. That's supposedly the objective of the Obama administration, is the ultimate overthrow, or either killing Assad or having him go to another country, for example, Russia or Iran or wherever. But the Putin has called President Obama's bluff by sending in fighter aircraft, attack aircraft, bomber aircraft, as well as military transports, as well as troops. So there are definitely troops and aircraft on the ground in Syria supporting the Assad regime. They're trying to really deny the United States access to that area, and they're succeeding. And if you look at the aircraft, these are an impressive group of aircraft. These are sophisticated bombers and fighter aircraft. And the Russian pilots are very good. I don't think President Obama wants our Air Force to be attacking Russian aircraft. And you got to keep in mind, the Assad regime has a lot of aircraft. It's not like the Russians are the only aircraft in eastern Syria and along the coast. So Russia is trying to protect a long an ally that it's had for many, many years, extending back into the Soviet Union era. And they don't want the United States to overthrow the Assad regime. And you got to remember, there's bad blood between Putin and Obama. Putin believes that Obama lied to him about Gaddafi, that he wasn't going to bring down the Gaddafi regime. And again, Gaddafi was a big purchaser of arms from Russia. And now what do we have in Libya? We have a failed state. It's a country in anarchy. You have different groups fighting each other. You have the Islamic State there, you have Al-Qaeda there, and other local groups. And they're all fighting for territory and power. We left. The United States diplomatic personnel, we closed our embassy, and we took off in a convoy heading west to get out of that country. That's where we are. The Middle East is a mess, and it's going to remain a mess for decades to come. And the question is, what should the United States be doing, if anything? I'm very much a non-interventionist. Unless we have a serious national interest there, we should stay out. In other words, mind our own business. Our allies are who? Israel? The Kurds in Iraq? I would say no longer the Iraqi government, because they are now very much dependent on Iran. And remember, in southern and central Iraq, they're Shia, the same religion of the Persians or the Iranians. And the Shia hate the Sunnis. And in Iraq, the Sunnis control the northern western part of Iraq, which is mostly desert. So if we were to go back, we would be in the midst of a civil war. Now, President Obama doesn't want to go back. It's very clear that he wants to stay out. And when you have a vacuum like that, what's going to happen? People are going to flood into the vacuum. Who's flooding in? Iran, as well as Russia and China. I don't think we want to start World War III in Syria. The American people would be against it. Now, you're always going to have the neoconservatives, the neocons, in Congress, Republicans in the Senate and the House that want to intervene across the globe. And McCain has taken to the floor again criticizing Obama. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, and I'm certainly not a supporter of Obama in this. I think his foreign policy has been a total, complete disaster from day one. We have literally unstable regimes in Iraq, Syria, and Northern Africa, in Libya. It's a mess. And the American people have decided enough is enough. We don't want to send our sons and daughters back into Iraq to play umpire between the Sunnis and the Shia, because both sides truly hate our guts. They want to kill us. And the problem is, the more attacks or missions, sorties, that our Air Force, primarily F-16s, do attacking the Islamic State, at some point you're going to have an accident or failure, or even the aircraft could be shot down, which means you have a pilot ejecting and then maybe being captured by the Islamic State. And you know what they do? They cut any prisoners that they capture, they cut their heads off. And the last thing I think this president wants is one or more U.S. pilots being on YouTube video with his head being cut off. And the American people simply don't want that. The reason they do that, though, is to try to provoke us. I can remember when these early videos came out where they were killing Americans, British, I believe they killed Japanese. Most of them were aid workers or reporters. There was a hue and cry, let's go back in and get those guys. The Islamic State needs to be destroyed. But who needs to destroy it? The Sunnis. And specifically who? Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, where the overwhelming majority are Sunni. They are the Sunni majority of the Islam faith. And Saudi Arabia has a lot of military equipment as well as aircraft. And Egypt has a huge army, as does Turkey. They could easily, it would take some time, totally defeat the Islamic State. That's what needs to be happening, and we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. What I think is happening, they're waiting for the United States to take the lead, and President Obama has made it very clear by his inaction that he is done with the Middle East. Oh, we'll have some token missions trying to take out the Islamic State. And I have no problem with that. But you need people on the ground. You need people to spot. You need to people to spot where the targets are. And that takes special forces, and that's a dangerous mission. But it needs to be done, because otherwise what happens? You're literally taking out civilians. And preliminary reports are that's what happened with the Russian bombing. Oh, yeah. They attacked our allies, so-called moderates that the CIA was supporting, but they also killed civilians. And that's to be expected. Because while the United States has precision bombs, that doesn't mean they don't kill civilians. We're killing civilians, and the Russians have killed civilians. So we have no good options except to stay home. What we can provide our allies, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, Egypt, Turkey, is intelligence, primarily satellite intelligence. We can provide training, and obviously we can provide a lot of equipment and arms. But Obama has made very, very, very clear that he will not send combat personnel back into Iraq. Yes, he made a mistake withdrawing. Everyone recognizes that. All his military advisors were recommending strongly to leave at least 25,000 to 50,000 troops in Iraq, as well as aircraft, and primarily on our Air Force bases where aircraft was based, to more or less keep the peace. Keep the two parties, namely the Sunnis and the Shia, apart. Obama rejected that advice and got out. Given that fact, the overwhelming majority of the American people do not want to go back into Syria. No matter what the provocation, and there's been many, Obama has made it very, very clear it's up to the natives, namely the Iraqis, the Syrians, the Saudis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, to clean up this mess. And they should, because we've had this religious civil war going on for decades. Now, there have been periods where there hasn't been a civil war, but the underlying hatred of the two branches of Islam is manifest. The Islamic State, if they capture you and they find out you're a Shia, they usually kill you on the spot or shoot you or behead you very quickly. And guess what? The Shia do the same thing. There's no love lost between these two groups. And now we have Putin supporting Assad. Now, I have a suspicion this all costs money. You need fuel, you need equipment. I wonder who paid for this. That's the question that was running through my mind. Is Assad paying for it? Possibly. Most likely, I think Iran is paying for this. And if that's the case, where did Iran get the money? Oh, the Iranian nuclear agreement that the majority of American people don't want. Oh, the Democratic Party backed Obama and supported him. And the Republican Party made a fundamental mistake when they did not insist on following the Constitution, namely the treaty clause that required Obama to get a two-thirds vote, in other words, 67 votes, for a treaty to be passed. Well, Obama said it's not a treaty, even though, given the seriousness of it, it certainly rises to that. And then the stupid party, the Republican Party, passed a law that put the burden on the Republicans to get 67 votes instead of the way the Constitution said it, and they lost. And as a result, that agreement is now in effect. Now, I don't think it's going to be in effect should a Republican president be elected. I think most of the Republican candidates would rip it up. And they've made that opinion known because it's really an executive agreement. It has no force of law. It was not passed as a treaty. And the next president can tear it up and should tear it up. So we have a mess in the Middle East that could lead to war. Now, you may have missed it, but Benjamin, the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, gave a speech in the United Nations. And I'm going to play a part of that speech. And it pertains to the fact that Iran, or the Islamic Republic of Iran, has been threatening Israel. And the United Nations has done absolutely nothing about it. So let me play part. I can't play the whole speech, but the relevant part.
Home to over 6 million Jews. He pledged quote, "There will be no Israel in 25 years," end quote. 70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people, and the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the guts represented here has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence. Perhaps you can now understand why Israel is not joining you in celebrating this deal. If Iran's rulers were working to destroy your countries, perhaps you'd be less enthusiastic about the deal. If Iran's terror proxies were firing thousands of rockets at your cities, perhaps you'd be more measured in your praise. And if this deal were unleashing a nuclear arms race in your neighborhood, perhaps you'd be more reluctant to celebrate.
Now, you probably noticed there was a silence of approximately 45 seconds. And I'm going to leave that in. So there will be a silence here. So-called dead air. Usually when I edit my show, what I do is go through the show and look for dead air or pauses to condense it. I'm not going to do that because the Prime Minister makes an excellent point. President Obama has sided with the Islamic Republic of Iran. He negotiated a nuclear deal that guarantees that Iran will have a bomb. I'm of the opinion they already have. They haven't tested it, but they have more than one. It's only a matter of time as to when they have more and ultimately will test it. I think what we heard from the Israeli Prime Minister is a warning. They are going to, at some point in time, they will attack and eliminate the nuclear capability of Iran. You'll wake up one morning and you'll hear that the Israeli Air Force, the Israeli Defense Forces, their aircraft have eliminated or attacked the Iranian nuclear facilities, infrastructure throughout Iran. It's not an easy military mission for the simple reason that's there's a long distance between Israel and Iran. And they would have to fly over, for example, Iraq. But that is going to happen. The Israelis will not let stand what our president agreed to and what our Congress, through incompetence, didn't block. The American people do not like, and I think it's an overwhelming majority, the nuclear deal that President Obama got through our Congress as well as the United Nations. And should a Republican president be elected, that nuclear deal will be made null and void, as it should have been, because the president should not have been negotiating with the leading terrorist nation of the world. There were alternatives. The president used to say, well, the only alternative it was war. No, absolutely not. Sanctions eventually work. It takes a long time, and that's one of the drawbacks of sanctions, but they were working. It brought the Iranians to the negotiating table, where they found out that the United States was desperate for the deal so that President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry could have a legacy. Well, they have a legacy, all right. Their foreign policy has resulted in a much unstable Middle East. It's a powder keg. And people in Syria, Iraq, are killing each other. And millions are fleeing. To date, the estimate is about 250,000 Syrians have already been killed in this civil war, primarily by Assad. But who knows the exact how many have actually died? Because on civil wars, it's hard to tell, and you don't know who to believe. There's no good side in Syria, and there's really no good side in Iraq. And that is the problem of intervention. When you intervene in a country, usually you don't know the language, you don't know the religion, you don't know the culture, and you simply are intervening where initially in Iraq you were considered a liberator. But within 6 months, more and more people were considering U.S. forces there as occupiers. And then what started? Servicemen, your sons and daughters, started to be killed. And many of the bombs that were killing them came from Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the very nation that Barack Obama negotiated a nuclear deal with. That nation was responsible for the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. military personnel because they provided the Shias in Iraq with those improvised explosive devices. Really, what they are mines that when a vehicle goes over, they blow it up. And the people inside, if they're not instantly killed or seriously wounded, they lose their arms, their legs, maybe their sight. So many were died, but many more were wounded. And that's the nation that our president negotiated this nuclear deal with. Shame on him. He did it to have a legacy. His legacy in the foreign policy area is one of utter disaster. We have lost respect across the globe. Our allies are, because of the way they've been treated, no longer regard the United States of America as a dependable ally. In other words, they don't trust our president. They don't believe our president. We have a president that is, for whatever reason, came into, when once he was elected, he from day one wanted to negotiate a deal with Iran, even though the people of Iran wanted to overthrow this oppressive government. And the folly was he was awarded a peace prize. Isn't that a laugh? What do we do? I say we stay home. They want to kill each other, fine. We back our allies, namely Israel, the Kurds in Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, protect our national interest. Our national interest is the free flow of oil from the Middle East. I'm not saying we don't have a presence there, but what we should not be doing is, again, repeating the mistakes of past U.S. governments intervening abroad where we are not wanted, if anything, or hated, and it's only a matter of time before they start attacking your sons and daughters that are serving in our armed forces in whatever country that we intervene in. That's the politics. And even though the Islamic State, as well as Iran, will on occasions provoke us, as have the Russians, I consider what the Russians have done is a provocation. Putin is drawing a red line. He's telling the United States to stay out of eastern Syria, where Assad is. And what did he do? He put in upwards of 50 military aircraft, fighter aircraft, bombers, attack aircraft, helicopters, transports, drones. They're all now in Syria. It's like a tripwire. They're denying access to Syria, to the United States, or to the area controlled by the Assad regime. Remember, Western Syria is largely controlled by the Islamic State that we want to destroy it and needs to be destroyed, but we shouldn't be the one providing the ground troops. We should not, as a matter of principle, get involved in other people's religious wars. That's a folly. So where does that leave us? Waiting for Obama to leave office. The sooner the better. And I hope a Republican, I don't know who it's going to be, gets elected and immediately rips it up and we reimpose sanctions. Our president had no business going against the will of the American people, thinking he knows best. It just simply has not worked out. He looks like an amateur, which he is. And Putin looks like a professional, which he is. He knows how to draw red lines. You don't talk about it, you just do it. And that's exactly what Vladimir Putin did. He didn't talk and talk and talk about red lines. He put in his own military aircraft as well as troops into Syria to back the Assad regime. I hope they're stuck there for the next 100 years. I hope it turns out like Afghanistan. But I don't want the United States involved. I don't want to see another life or our treasure, our taxpayers' money, go to the Middle East and be wasted supporting people that objectively we shouldn't be supporting. Stay out of the Middle East. Only back and support our allies, our long-term allies, primarily Israel. And because of the oil, which is truly the national interest, I think we do have a moral obligation to support the Saudi regime. Although I'm not, how should I say this? I'm not a believer in monarchy, certainly not an absolute monarchy, and I'm no fan of the Saudi royal family. But our government, starting with Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, have signed agreements, and for decades, the Saudis were our allies. And yes, they made trillions of dollars on the oil, but they took a lot of that money and turned around and bought military equipment such as F-15s and other aircraft, tanks, from the United States. What needs to be done, it's past the time where the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, Jordan, need to go in to both Syria and Iraq and destroy the Islamic State and make sure that the Sunni areas of Iraq can stand on their own feet and at some point in time withdraw from Iraq and Syria. That's what needs to be done. Will it be done? I doubt it, because they don't trust President Obama either. See, trust is very, very important. It's essential, as is respect. Our president has lost both the respect and the trust of many world leaders. His word is not his bond. And because of that, he's done damage, hopefully not irreparable damage, to our relations with our allies. Hopefully a Republican president can correct that situation. But we're in dangerous times. And President Obama has 15 months, almost 16 months, in office. And now we have the makings or the possibility of a world war starting in the Middle East should United States and Russian aircraft, whether deliberately or accidentally, shoot each other down. Our president has been made to look like a fool by Vladimir Putin. It's embarrassing, but he has only himself to blame. They know he's a paper tiger. He's a phony. He knows that he wants to totally withdraw from the Middle East and not really back our allies. That is his serious mistake. And hopefully the American people will correct it by electing another president. I have no idea who it would be. And let me make very clear, I'm not a Democrat, nor am I a Republican. But I am someone that believes in peace and non-intervention. We need to protect our national interest, but we don't talk about how to do it, we just do it. You see, our president is a talker, but he's not a walker. He can't walk the walk, and the leaders of the world understand that. They understand he's a paper tiger, empty suit, however you want to describe it. And we're stuck with him until January of 2017, when the next president takes the oath of office. And it's going to take years to really correct the damage that this president has done to foreign relations. And the fact that everywhere he's intervened or pulled out abruptly is now totally destabilized. The world, or at least the Middle East, is on the brink of chaos and war. And we now have the superpowers, both the United States, Russia, China, involved. I don't think the Russians want to start a war with us in the Middle East, and I'm sure the United States does not want the Russians to start a war with us. But our president's failed policy has taken us to this sad state of affairs. Well, I'm looking at the time, and I have less than 10 minutes to really wrap it up. So I do pray for all those Christians, Muslims, that are unfortunately in the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria, and face death every day from either the Islamic State, the Assad regime, the Iranians supporting Hezbollah, who supports the Assad regime, and now we have the Russians. So what's happening is Muslims in Iraq and Syria being killed, whether they're Sunni or Shia. And most of them are innocent in the sense that they don't belong to the Islamic State, nor do they part of the mullahs in the Islamic Republic of Iran. They're caught in between. And the one place you don't want to be is a middle of a civil war, especially a religious civil war, where memories go back not decades, but centuries. Because if you get in the wrong hands, they will kill you because of your beliefs, your religion, or your ideology. And that is what's happening every day in Syria and Iraq. We never hear about it on the news, but it's happening. It's also happening to Christians and other religious minorities. And I do appreciate and understand the Israeli Prime Minister's frustration with the United Nations. I think we should have a serious discussion or conversation in the United States whether or not we should continue to belong to the United Nations. There used to be a bumper sticker, and I believe it came out of the John Birch Society. The United States should get out of the United Nations, and the United Nations should get out of the United States. I'm all for that, because if you look at the nations that make up the United Nations, most of them are dictators, totalitarians. It's a club that the United States should not be a part of, and we're spending our taxpayer dollars to belong to it. So I agree with the bumper sticker. Get the United States out of the United Nations, and get the United Nations out of the United States. With that, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.